Well, last week my 3-year-old granddaughter took part in her first ever nativity play down in Manchester. And her parents put some photographs on Facebook, and we looked at the photographs, and we were really looking forward to seeing pictures of my beautiful 3-year-old granddaughter in her first ever nativity play. And she was there. But she was dressed as a penguin. Well, I can assure you that the Bible doesn't actually say that there were any penguins around in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. I doubt if there has ever been a penguin in Bethlehem. I don't think there's a zoo in Bethlehem. And if it's a penguin not in a zoo, and it's in Bethlehem, then it is probably a disorientated penguin. And actually, a lot of what we imagine about the Christmas story is not actually in the Bible. It's the result of imagination, it's the result of Christian art, it's the result of Christian carols, actually a lot of it. It's not actually in the Bible. And I just thought I'd give you some examples tonight. For instance, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. We know roughly when he was born. But we don't know the actual date. We certainly know that Jesus was an historical figure. We know that he began his ministry, for instance, in the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius. That means he began his ministry around about 28, 29 AD. But Christmas Day, 25th of December, actually began as a midwinter celebration. People have celebrated at this time of the year for millennia, because it's a miserable time of the year, and so we like to cheer ourselves up at this time of the year, in the bleak midwinter, and we celebrate the fact that the nights are just beginning to get a bit longer, sort of shorter. No, long. The nights are getting shorter. Again, the days are getting longer. So the Christian church took over these pagan celebrations and turned it into a Christian celebration. They thought, well, why not celebrate the real light of the world when everyone else is celebrating the sun or the end of the winter or the middle of the winter? We ought to celebrate the birth of the light of the world on that day. So that's what Christians have done for about 1700 years. They've celebrated the birth of the light of the world, the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the light of the world. What this sun is to the earth physically, I am to this world spiritually. He was born into this world, and we celebrate his birth on the 25th of December. But the Bible doesn't tell us he was born then. And the Bible certainly doesn't tell us that it was snowing when Jesus was born. It's highly unlikely that it was snowing. I don't know that they get snow in Bethlehem ever. Another thing, the Bible doesn't say that there were any animals present at the birth of Jesus. Sorry about that. There were certainly no penguins, but it doesn't even say that there was any cattle lowing. It doesn't even say there were any sheep. There was a few shepherds, but doesn't say they actually brought the sheep with them. Doesn't even say there was any camels. We don't know how the wise men actually got to Bethlehem. Doesn't even say there was a donkey. It's more likely that Mary and Joseph came in a wagon or something, rather than on a donkey, a journey of that distance. Doesn't even say he was born in a stable. Did you realize that? No, it just says, all we know is that they laid him in a manger. The exact details of his birth are unknown. Animals often shared a house with people in Palestine in those days. The animals would be on the lower level, and the family would be on the higher level. And sometimes a cave was used for the animal. So we don't know whether Jesus was born in a cave, or in the lower floor of somebody's house, or in a stable. We're just not told. We're just told that he was laid in a nice, clean manger, which was a very good spot, actually, to lay a newborn baby, a very suitable cradle for a newborn baby. What we do know is that the Lord Jesus was rich, and yet he became poor for our sake, so that we, through his poverty, the Bible says, might become rich. And what we do know is that there was no room for him in the inn. And that might have just been a fact. I'm sure it was just a fact. I don't think it was the innkeeper's fault. I think the innkeeper has had a very bad press. If your inn is full, and people have paid, and people turn up at the last minute, it's just tough if the inn is full. I think the innkeeper has had a very bad press. But it does say that there was no room for him in the inn. And I think Luke probably does mean to tell us there that Bethlehem was busy, and people were busy, people's lives were full, and that's still true. People are still too busy for Jesus, really, to give him a real place in their life. Maybe once a year at Christmas, carol services, but we're really just too busy for Jesus, and our lives are too full, and we overlook who he really is. I'm sure if the innkeeper knew who he was, he would have made some special arrangements. He would have phoned up. No, he couldn't have phoned up, sorry. I'm going the same way myself. He would have contacted another innkeeper and found somewhere else for Jesus to stay, I'm sure, if he'd known who Jesus was. And we don't know who he is. We overlook him. We neglect him. We don't find a place for him, for the Son of God, in our lives. Another thing the Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus was visited by three kings. No, it says that some astrologers who studied the stars from the east, which doesn't mean that they came from Japan, might have just been Arabia, or somewhere like Persia, Iran, somewhere like that. They came bringing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It doesn't say how many came. Doesn't say they were kings. They weren't kings. Doesn't say how many of them there were. There may have been 20. There may have just been 2. We just don't know how many there were. They were. And they didn't come at the same time as the shepherds either. They came months after the shepherds came. So all the nice pictures of the shepherds and the wise men around the manger, none of that in the Bible. It doesn't even say they came on camels. What it does say, and what that story means, is that the birth of Jesus was the birth of God's promised king. And God had been promising him for centuries. And he came. And he came for the whole world. He came for people who weren't Jews, as well as for Jews. He came for people from the east, as well as people from Israel. He came for the whole world. He came for people from every nation. And people from other nations came to worship at the Lord Jesus Christ's cradle. And that's a sign that Jesus is God's gift to the whole world. Another thing the Bible doesn't say, it doesn't say that the main purpose of Jesus coming into the world was to set us a good example. A lot of people think that Jesus came into this world just to be a nice person, the best person who ever lived, a special person perhaps, to show us how to live. Well, it would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, if we could all follow Jesus, if we could all live like Jesus, if we were all as obedient to God as he was, if we were all as full of love for God and love for other people as he was. It would be great if we were all as kind and as compassionate as Jesus was. But we're not, are we? We're not. There's what the Bible calls sin in our lives. We're not like Jesus. And we never will be. Not in this life anyway. And we need more than an example. We need a Saviour. Not just an example, but a Saviour to save us from our sin. And the name Jesus means God saves. God to the rescue, if you like. It actually says in the Bible, Christ Jesus came into the world to save or to rescue sinners. Not just to set them a good example. Because if I've got to follow the example of Jesus before I can know I'm going to be with God when I die, then I can have no assurance that that's ever going to happen to me, because I'm not anything like what I should be. I'm not like Jesus was. I need a Savior. Not just an example, but a Savior. And Jesus came to be that Savior. And another thing the Bible isn't saying, this is the last one, is that Christmas is the most holy day in the Christian year. The Bible doesn't say that. Actually, God hasn't given us any holy days. He does ask us to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on the first day of the week, what we call Sunday. We meet every Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and to remember that he died for us by taking bread and wine, as he asked us to do. That's what Christians do. They worship Jesus every day of the week, and they make a point of coming to celebrate his death and his resurrection on the first day of the week to get the week off to a good start. The Bible doesn't say anything about Christmas at all. And actually, there was no Christmas celebrations in the church for the first 300 years. And actually, long before Christians started celebrating Christmas, they were celebrating Easter. Because at Easter, we remember the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross for our sins in our place, so that he could be our Savior, taking God's punishment, taking God's judgment upon us, accepting that punishment on our behalf. That's what happened when Jesus died on the cross. And then we remember that God raised him from the dead to show that sin could be forgiven, to show that Jesus had done enough for us and God had accepted it. He raised him from the dead, and we know that Jesus is alive and there is forgiveness for us if we trust ourselves to him. So, Christmas is a tradition that's grown up in the church, but there's nothing about it in the Bible. It's okay. It's great, actually. I'm really looking forward to Christmas Day. But there's nothing about it in the Bible. The Bible tells us to meet with God and worship the Lord Jesus every week, every day, actually, and to meet together to celebrate the resurrection on the first day of the week, which is what we do here every Sunday, not just on the Sunday before Christmas, but every Sunday. And you're welcome to join us on those Sundays. And every now and again we put on the Christianity Explored course. We always have some people who want to look into the Christian faith, and we'll be probably starting one in January. So ask the person who brought you to the carol service to tell you about the next Christianity Explored that we're putting on. It's just a simple meeting where we look at a video talking about the Christian faith. Then we discuss the video. You don't have to discuss it if you don't want to. You can sit there quietly if you prefer to do that. And there's no pressure. Nobody's going to visit you or ask you to do anything embarrassing. Just a question of watching a video and then discussing it together if you want to. And we'll let you know when that's going to happen. And the article that gave me the inspiration for this talk tonight is in a magazine called Evangelicals Now. And I actually rang up the editor of the magazine and I said, could I do a talk roughly based on that? And could I print out the article and give every family that comes to the carol service the article? And he said, well, of course you can, which was nice of him, wasn't it? So all of you, I hope, when you came in, at least one per family, were given a sheet of paper with 12 myths about Christmas in it or on it. I've just picked a few of them for my talk, but there's another 6 in there. And you can take that away with you, and you can read the article. It's the article on which I've based my talk. I've made a few slight alterations. And you're very welcome to take that sheet back with you and read up about Christmas.